including airfare, for under $1,000. That was a bargain.
Is there an equivalent plane today or a transformational technology today in aviation that the 707 was in 1958?
Nothing.
Can you see it?
Nothing. These big planes or cattle cars,
yeah,
they're all more akin to the bet that Boeing and Pan Am made on the 747. Now, ironically, the 747 was as bad a bet at the beginning as the 707 was a good bet, because of terrorism in the early 70s, because of inflation, because of recession. You know, it killed travel, and you could fly on a 747, and it would be empty for 10 years, and that's what put all the airlines out of business.
You are of an age to have flown on a 707. Do you remember?
I did. It was an amazing experience. A lot of the Pan Am 707s were student charters. I remember as a student, as an undergraduate at Columbia, flying to Paris for $100 round trip.
Wow.
But there was a catch. On the way back, we're flying back to New York, and we took off, and there was a loud sound, and the captain got on and said, oh, we lost our landing gear coming out of Orly, and we're going to be making an emergency landing in Gander, Newfoundland in 5 hours. Oh, and then we knew we were in trouble when the stewardess started handing out free champagne to everybody.
Oh, man.
They were treating us all like we were first class, and we thought this would be the last flight.
We're sure
anyway,
they didn't die.
So all the kids who had been traveling to Turkey, this was, you know, the Midnight Express era, pulled out all the pot and everything they brought, and they said, well, we might as well enjoy it now because we'll never do it again. And everybody was sky high. And I remember landing on foam in Gander, and there were a whole brigade of fire trucks and a black hearse before I went into the crash position. But it was a smooth thing. We stayed 5 hours in Gander, and then we flew back to New York.
And you'll live to tell the tale.
And I live to tell the tale.
The book by Bill Stadium, William Stadium, is called Jet Set: The People, the Planes, the Glamour, and the Romance of Aviation's Glory Years. Bill, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Marketplace is supported by Reputation.com, advising that people should check their online search results because search results define you or your business. Learn more at Reputation.com. By National Jewish Health in Denver, Colorado, recognized by U.S. News and World Report for their research and treatment of respiratory and related illnesses. We never say never. More at NJHealth.org. And by Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. Additional support from the University of Southern California's Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism.
This final note today, in which, not for the first time, I thank my lucky stars I'm in radio and that therefore you guys can't see what I'm wearing. That, because apparently there's a new thing in men's fashion this year, a short suit. Not a suit that is cut a little bit short, but a suit in which the pants are actually shorts. Above the knee, the whole deal. J. Crew somehow thinks people are going to pay $350. You can tell I'm irate. J. Crew thinks people are going to pay $358 for something called the Ludlow short suit in rope stripe Italian wool linen. No. Just no. We've got the link on our website. You should check out the pictures. You'll see what I'm talking about. All right, we're done on that rant. That is Marketplace from APM. Today, the Dow up about 18 points, a 10%. The NASDAQ gained 14 points, a third of 1%. The S&P 500 added 1 point. That is a tenth of 1%. Our daily production team includes Bridget Bonder, Tommy Andres, and Millie Jefferson. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We will see you tomorrow, everybody, wearing long pants, by the way. This is APM.
Programming support comes from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
During the month of June, KTOO presents the work of Wayne Owen. Featured will be photographs and paintings of non-traditional natural history subjects meant to coax the viewer into reconsidering their perspectives on and relationships with the natural world. This show aims to challenge the viewer to see familiar sights with new eyes. Join us Friday, June 6th from 4:30 to 6 for an opening reception at the KTOO building for the art of Wayne Owen.
You are listening to KTOO Juneau. Coming up shortly, the CBJ meeting will be joining in just a moment.
2014 Assembly Regular Meeting 2014-17 to order. And will you all rise and salute the flag with me?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. Before we get into the meeting any further, I guess I should take notice and do my due diligence to two very important ladies that are with us tonight that have gotten a year older. Miss Mead's birthday is today. She's sweet 16. I think Miss Kiefer's birthday was on Saturday.
Yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. So there you go. Two very important people that keep us going up here at this assembly in DS. And I just want to say thank you to both of you for all the hard work that you put in for us. And I truly appreciate it, and I'm sure the rest of the assembly members do too. So
thank you,
ladies. Okay, I see tonight we have a couple of different people signed up for Franklin and 2nd Street. We can take that as you'll note the roll, please, Miss Zika.
Okay.
I see that there's somebody, Miss Hood, do you have consent agenda items that you wish to speak to? Okay, we're not going to talk to the consent agenda items because there are so many of them tonight, and we're just going to roll. If the consent agenda is accepted by the assembly, then they will be brought forward at our next meeting on the 30th, and that's when public testimony will be taken on those consent agenda items. Okay.
You mean the ordinance is for introduction?
Which one?
I don't know, but if there's a resolution she wants to talk about, she can pull it off.
There isn't.
Okay.
Well, I guess, do you have a resolution you want to speak to, Ms. Hood?
Yes.
Okay. We'll pull, and we're not quite there yet, so let me get to there, and then we'll pull that resolution, and that's acceptable to speak about, and then hear your testimony, and then move forward with the rest of the consent agenda. She just did it. I said we'll go. Okay, we have a couple of special orders of business tonight. We have... You're going to force me into the microphone. Thank you, Ms. Seacup. Okay, so our first proclamation is in recognition of Lemonade Day. And Lemonade Day is sponsored by Southeast Conference throughout Southeast Alaska. And we try to promote this community-wide event throughout Southeast Alaska, not just here in Juneau, and get our kids and our grandkids involved in this special business day, entrepreneurship, and teach them how to start a small business and how to move forward in a small business. So that's what Lemonade Day is all about. And this proclamation is to recognize that. Whereas Lemonade Day is a free community-wide educational event providing children with the opportunity to learn and apply entrepreneurial thinking and create a foundation for success in the global economy. And whereas Lemonade Day exists to infuse today's youth with the spirit of enterprise, teaching the basic business and entrepreneurial skills necessary to become successful, contributing members of their communities. And whereas Lemonade Day has a core philosophy of spend, save, and share that is implemented by teaching children how to start, own, and operate a business, learn goal setting, develop a business plan, establish a budget, seek investors, provide customer service, and give back to their communities. And whereas Lemonade Day offers opportunities for families, businesses, schools, youth organizations, faith-based communities, neighborhoods, institutes of higher learning, and government agencies to unite for a common purpose to train the next generation of entrepreneurs. And whereas Lemonade Day is an event that demonstrates the young people of Juneau that they are important and citizens care about their future. And whereas the City and Borough of Juneau salutes and commends the organizers, volunteers, and participants of Lemonade Day, a program that advances life skills, character, and entrepreneurship, and extend best wishes for successful and rewarding observance. Now, therefore, I, Merrill Sanford, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, do hereby proclaim the second Saturday in June as Lemonade Day in Juneau. In witness whereof, I have hereto set my hand and caused the seal of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, to be affixed this ninth day of June, 2014. And in Southeast Alaska, like I say, Southeast Conference has been a big organizer of this event, and I see Miss Lori Blood is here with us, and if she would come up and accept the proclamation, I would be very proud to give it to her. And thank you very much, Lori. Our second proclamation is from the Office of the Mayor, City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska. Whereas Juneau Pride is sponsored each year by Southeast Gay and Lesbian Alliance and PIFLAG, Juneau Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbian and Gays, two organizations that provide a full range of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender social and support services. And whereas the capital city is home to many well-respected LGBT leaders in all professional fields, including the arts, medical, legal, business, and faith communities. And whereas Juneau Pride 2014 is a celebration of Alaska's diversity and of the LGBT community's tremendous contributions to the local, statewide, national, and world community. And whereas Juneau Pride 2014 commemorates the 1969 Stonewall riots, considered by many to be the catalyst for the LGBT movement for civil rights in the United States. And whereas Juneau Pride 2014 is an opportunity to unite individuals, organizations, businesses, and community leaders in support of freedom from discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. And whereas Juneau Pride 2014 promotes dignity, equality, and self-affirmation for LGBT Alaskans, thus supporting all Juneau residents' efforts to participate fully in the social and economic life of our city. And whereas Juneau Pride 2014 will share its celebration by inviting the entire Juneau community to participate in a week of cultural events beginning Monday, June 16th, and highlighted by the annual Pride Picnic held at Sandy Beach on Saturday, June 21st, from 12 to 4 p.m. Now, therefore, I, Merrill Sanford, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, on behalf of the City and Borough Assembly, do hereby proclaim June 2014 as Juneau Pride 2014 and encourage the Juneau community to celebrate the diversity of Alaskans. In witness whereof, I have hereto set my hand and caused the seal of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska to be affixed this ninth day of June 2014.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay, we'll do the approval of minutes first and then move down to the consent agenda. We have the May 19th, 2014, regular meeting 2014-15 before us. Are there any corrections?
I did turn in a couple of very minor things.
Okay.
And so did I.
Okay. And you got all those, Laurie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are minor corrections that have been turned in. Is there acceptance of the minutes as minorly corrected? If there's no objections, so ordered. And June 2nd, Special Assembly Meeting 2014-16, there's a whole new page, page number 2, that was missing that should have been on your desk, and that goes into your June 2nd meeting. Did everybody get that? Are there any other corrections to those minutes?
I've just turned in a couple.
Okay.
One sticker.
Minor ones again?
On the last page of that one.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Becker. Are there any other corrections? Hearing none, they're approved then. And we'll move forward to manager's request for agenda changes. I think we have one, Madam Manager.
Yes, we do. Under new business, item B, the appeal, if you could please remove that. We got notification late this afternoon that Sea Alaska Heritage Institute still is working with the CBJ, and they'd like it to be pulled. And if we don't have resolution by the 30th, then we'll put it back on the agenda for the 30th.
All right. Thank you, Madam Manager. Everybody has that. We will move forward to public participation on non-agenda items. This is where we will hear Ms. Joanne Waller, I think it is. 3rd Street, about Franklin and 2nd land sale. Welcome.
So I'm here because I want to see there be more of a public process and the way that the land sales.
Give me your name.
Oh, Joni Waller. Do you need my address?
Yes, please.
315 3rd Street.
Thank you.
So that's that. Basically, my statement is that. Then I can read all this to you. But I think there needs to be a public process, more public process and notification to adjacent landowners when there is a piece of land for sale from the city.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, may I read my statement?
As long as it's under 3 minutes.
It is.
Go ahead.
Okay. As an adjacent property owner and business owner, I'm concerned that what may be moving forward with that parking lot without my knowledge or without being a part of the process. So I wrote it myself, and that didn't make sense. Anyway, I better just talk to you. When I bought my property 2 years ago, there was an adopted plan in place to build a parking garage in that location. Now, through the grapevine, I hear that a group has approached the city with a plan to develop this lot into a multi-level housing complex, and because there's a housing shortage in Juneau, considerations are being made to support their offer without public input. The first official notification I had on this was when I received a call from an appraiser asking specific questions about my property in order to determine an appraisal amount for that parking lot. So under the current ordinance, the process in place after someone submits an application to purchase CBJ property is to solicit proposals in the newspaper for other proposals. If I or my neighbors or my fellow business owners didn't see the paper, we wouldn't have known these changes are being considered in our neighborhood. I don't know how it's been with other CBJ land sales, but this one is in the heart of downtown, and I think that the community should have an opportunity to determine how this community asset is being used and is proposed to being used. Last week, this was discussed in Lands and Resources Committee, and they forwarded on to the Assembly. So I feel that the current process, by the time the adjacent landowners and business owners are allowed input, that it'll be too late. So I think the community needs to have a discussion on what's best used for that piece of property, and I'll save my reasons for another time at this point. Just I feel like it needs to get
Thank you, Ms.
put out there. So I'm here to make an official request that there be public notice and public involvement early on in the process when it comes to the sale of CBJ properties, especially when it involves a change of use on that property. Thank you.
Thank you. And just to be upfront with you, that the permitting process is not over, and all that will be done during that permitting process. This was and is the beginning of the process for the sale of that property, and it's one of the ways that we do this off and on when we sell property. So it's not, it's nothing new or out of the ordinary. It's something that we do, and there could be better thoughts and it thought out better, and I'm sure that that will get through to the city manager. Are there any questions for Ms. Waller? Thank you very much, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. And Ms. Hood, I guess when we get to, we're going to get into the consent agenda right now, and so then if you wish to pull that resolution, you can. So public participation on non-agenda is closed. If there's nobody else who wishes to speak to us, that was the only person I had signed up. Public participation is closed. We'll move on to the consent agenda. And does anybody from the public request, other than ordinances, for introduction to pull something from the consent agenda? Ms. Hood?
Tonight, but
we are.
You're going to bring it up for public input at the next regular meeting?
All the items on the consent agenda will be passed through to our next consent or to our next assembly meeting on the 30th, and all the ordinances, the resolutions, and the bids can be discussed here at this meeting individually, okay. But not the ordinances.
Okay. There were two resolutions, but apparently the Sea Alaska request for postponement eliminates that one. That was one I was going to comment on. The other one is...
All I want is you to tell us which one it is so we can pull it, and then I can finish my documentation here, and then I'll let you speak on it, okay, Ms. Hood? Tell us the number that you want us to pull.
I was just about okay. to tell you that. Serial number 2686.
And anything else that can be pulled that you wish, Ms. Hood?
The resolution 2693 you already pulled because of Sea Alaska's request.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That was at the back of the meeting. Yeah, that was an appeal.
No.
That was coming before us later on.
It wasn't
a resolution.
Then I would like to have that pulled also.
No, that's not in the consent agenda.
Yes.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
it is.
2693 is.
2D, Mr. Mayor.
2693.
They both are.
Establishing a schedule of fees for appeals.
Okay, well, that has nothing to do with the Heritage.
No.
Only that they're both appeals, I think,
right.
Is the issue.
Okay. So you wish to speak to resolution 2693, which has to do with the schedule of fees for appeals.
Establishing the fees for appeals, yes.
Okay. So we'll put both of those on pulled. And is there anything else that the Assembly wishes to pull from the consent agenda? Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the adoption of the consent agenda with the pulling of 2686, Resolution 2686 and Resolution 2693, and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? So ordered. We'll move on to 2686. Madam Clerk.
Resolution 2686, the resolution repealing Resolution 2662 and reestablishing the rules of procedure for assembly advisory boards.
Thank you, Ms. Hood. Madam Manager?
Resolution 2686 is a housekeeping measure to address an inadvertent omission that occurred in the adoption of Resolution 2246 related to the Advisory Board Rule of Procedures in 2004. One of the purposes of Resolution 2246 was to consolidate what was then six separate resolutions governing advisory boards into a single resolution. One of those six, Resolution 421, adopted in 1976, provided that advisory boards, committee, and commission members serve at the pleasure of the Assembly. Though intended to be repealed and incorporated into Resolution 2246, Resolution 421 was accidentally only repealed. This resolution would correct that oversight by amending the Advisory Board Rules of Procedure to include the removal of provision adopted in 1976 by Resolution 421. The new language is found in Rule Number 8. I recommend this resolution be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager, and I'll open this up for public comment. Ms. Hood, go ahead.
Okay. Without italicized wording to identify the old wording or changes, I'm not sure exactly how they read, but I have these comments I would like to make about the information provided. Under appointment process, Rule 2C, terms, it says members of advisory board shall be appointed for a term of 3 years, unless otherwise specified. Not sure. I mean, I understand the Planning Commission has three terms, but the Commission on Aging, as far as I know, doesn't have a limit. And Marie Darlin has been on for quite a long time. The PRAC that I had served on, Jim King, had been on for 20-some years, and I had been on for 12 years. And so I'm not sure whether this pertains to the PRAC, but it doesn't seem like there's a necessity for that. I know that there were a whole lot of new members coming on a couple of years ago, and Chris Myrtle and I were the only ones that had been on the PRAC at that time. So I think that continuity is very helpful, and that I don't think that there would be a justifiable reason to have the PRAC or the Commission on Aging, and I don't know what other ones it might apply to, but to have a limit on term. So that was one comment. The other is that when I was on the PRAC, there was an agenda change that I thought was kind of puzzling. We had always had, at the end of our agenda, comments and questions by the members. And then we were told, at the request of the Assembly and acceptance of a new procedural agenda, that that would be eliminated. And the Assembly still has comments and questions, and it was a very valuable part of the PRAC meeting. So I don't think that should be eliminated. I think it should be put back in, or allowed to be put back in.
Thank you, Ms. Hood. Is that all?
Yes.
Those two things?
Okay. Yes.
Madam Manager, could you speak to those, or Ms. Mead? I don't know which one.
The only new language in the advisory board rules is found in Rule 8. None of the other provisions were changed, and there was no request to change those, so they were left alone. The question about the term limits, I don't know what the specific bylaws are for each of those, or if there's any other governing document for those specific entities, but there could be that could change the terms. But it's not something that I've looked at.
And those are all spelled out in the document in the front of our book and everything on committees and commissions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Ms. Hood?
I'm not sure, Amy, whether you were saying that the specific spelling out of the agenda was not something that the assembly requested or the city manager or somebody to have uniform agendas for all of those committees and boards?
What I was saying is that the only change to the advisory rules of procedure that's made in this resolution is in Rule 8. So the other things that you've been talking about, I did not look at and was not asked to change those rules that were already existing. The only new language is in Rule 8.
I don't know if this is, as I said, representing a change or not, but a couple of years ago or 1 year ago, there was a change in the requirement of the PRAX agenda, and that's what I'm commenting on. It may not be part of a change, but it happened, and we were required to eliminate that part of the agenda, mm-hmm. and we're told that was to be uniform.
Ms. Sika, do you remember that? With Ms. McEwen or
Mr. Fisher might be able to speak to it.
Mr. Brent Fisher, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, what Ms. Hood is referring to is that I believe the clerk's office was trying to have advisory boards or boards try to have an agenda set up somewhat similar to the assembly agenda. Mm-hmm. So there were some things that we had on PRAC agenda for I don't know how many years that we reformatted to fall in line with the assembly's agenda, the way that the agenda was put together. So that's what she's referring to. So that was way before and had nothing to do with this particular ordinance. So does that answer it, sir?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it does answer for me. But
because the assembly still does, on its agenda, have comments and questions by the members.
Ms. Hood, I would suggest that you go back to the PRAC and talk to them about that and how they run their agenda and their business. In accordance, that isn't what this resolution does, so it doesn't apply to this resolution, and we're not going to probably, I would assume, and I don't want to speak for the assembly as a whole here, but we're not going to change this resolution for that one item to move forward. It needs to come up through the PRAC. If they want to see changes to their agendas and their layout of what they do, then they need to bring it through staff and get it back to us in a change format. This isn't it.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My recollection is that the Assembly has not, certainly doesn't in this resolution, but has not generally dictated a specific agenda for any board or commission. If I'm incorrect about that with regard to the PRAC, I would be happy to talk with the PRAC about that at a Human Resources Committee meeting. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you that this resolution doesn't speak to that one way or the other.
Right.
And then on the other topic Ms. Hood raised, I just want to make sure that I'm understanding this resolution correctly on her question having to do with the term limits. My reading of 2C is that this sets a standard term as a three-year term, but this resolution does not place term limits. Our term limits for our empowered boards and I believe our appeal boards appear elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And this resolution, if I'm understanding it correctly, and I'll look to the city attorney, doesn't speak to term limits at all.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Peel.
All right, any other questions? Ms. Hood?
No, that will be all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
And so the other items on the consent agenda can be addressed on June 30th?
No. But the resolution first.
Oh, I thought he gave a date about when they were going to be moved.
All the ordinances will be heard on June 30th.
The other resolution you pulled off, they need to address this one first, and then they'll address the second one you pulled off. So they need to finish work on this one first.
We're going to take action on the two resolutions right now.
I understand. I just was going to go sit down because I didn't know whether you had said that because there was so much business tonight, you weren't going to take up the consent agenda, it was going to be taken up on the next regular meeting?
We in fact already passed the consent agenda with the exception of these two resolutions that you pulled.
And a public hearing.
And a public hearing on what?
Well, I wanted to post something and...
An ordinance.
I didn't have,
The ordinance will be up for public hearing on June the 30th, all of them, and you can make public statement at that meeting on those individual ordinances as they come up.
Even though it's on the consent agenda tonight?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just for introduction.
Yep.
Okay.
So I have a question for Ms. Hood.
Go ahead.
We pulled 2693 at your request. Were you planning to speak to that?
Yes. Thank you.
Not right now. They
okay.
have to finish this one
let's,
first.
Let's finish 2686.
Oh, I thought we were finishing. Okay.
No,
well, we are, but we haven't voted on it. So if I can have the Assembly, Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I move the Assembly adopt Resolution 2686, reestablishing the rules of procedure for advisory boards, and ask unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. We'll move on to 2693, Madam Clerk.
A resolution repealing Resolution 1828 and reestablishing the schedule for fees for appeal.
Madam Manager.
This resolution would amend the amount of the appeal filing fee from $250 to $500. There have been no increases to the filing fee in 18 years. It is also consistent with the CBJ development permit application fees, which range from $350 to $1650. Additionally, this increase more closely represents the true costs incurred by the CBJ in managing appeals. The resolution would maintain a provision allowing the manager to waive the filing fee in whole or in part upon a showing that the applicant is unable to pay. I recommend this resolution be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I'll open up for public comment. Ms. Hood?
Yes. Under Section 2, where it sets the fee, but says the standard for determining inability to pay shall be substantially the same as that used to determine eligibility for representation by the municipal public defender, I had both a question and a comment. I wondered if there was an inability to pay, what the cost for a public defender is at this time, and that it's just very important to me that there be this provision for persons with financial difficulties.
Thank you, Ms. Hood. Ms. Keeper or Ms. Mead?
On Resolution 2693, the only change that was made was the filing amount, so it's going from $250 to $500. The Section 2 is the same language that was in place 18 years ago when this was put forward. I don't know what the eligibility right now, the requirements are for the municipal public defender.
So it's the same as what it has been?
Correct. That is not changing.
Yeah.
Correct.
Ms. Mead, do you have any?
No, that's correct.
Ms. Hood, you still have a question?
Neither one of you know what the fee would be for a public defender if there was an inability to pay?
I don't know what the schedule is off the top of my head, no. It's an income analysis that the court does to determine if someone should is eligible for a public defender or not.
So it's the state rules
yes.
that they go by for assigning a public defender mm-hmm. to a case, right? Ms. Hood?
Well, it sounds like it's agreeing to something that...
Has been in effect for 18 years.
That nobody knows the dollar amount of.
It's been in effect for 18 years. We're not changing at all.
But I'm asking the question about it because... it's a concern to me because it's including that here.
Do you have
it's an income analysis based upon the amount of money someone makes and what their debts are and what their monthly expenses are. So it's not a set amount. It's a balancing test, if you will, to determine if someone is has sufficient funds to pay for their own attorney. We use a similar test to determine if someone is eligible to have the appeal fee waived.
Okay, so it's different for every helpful. Applicant.
That's mm-hmm. helpful. Thank you. Yes.
All right. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the adoption of Resolution 269.
Let me close public testimony here first.
I thought she was the only one. Sorry.
Well, she is legally, but.
She's okay.
So, is there anything else, Ms. Hood?
Well, I'm just really trying to be clear about the other consent agenda item that is an ordinance.
Mm-hmm. Which one? Remember the ordinance 2014-30, zoning? That's what you have written down?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. That ordinance will be heard.
That's the public hearing part of the meeting. There was the one I was talking about was another. Oh, it was the ordinance about increasing the rates for water and wastewater utilities.
That's another ordinance that is on the consent agenda and will be heard for public hearing at the June 30th meeting.
And you approved it for tonight, or you're holding it until then?
No. It's being held. It passed the consent agenda to move forward uh-huh. to the public hearing process on June 30th.
Okay.
So it will be heard by you and anybody else who wishes to speak to any of those ordinances on June 30th.
Thank you for explaining it to me. And that's all I
okay.
have to ask about.
Thank you very much. I will close public comment and we'll move forward. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the adoption of Resolution 2693 and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections?
I object.
Ms. Crane, thank you. Please take the roll. Do you wish to speak to your objection?
I really think that if we had a problem with frivolous appeals and a lot of people making appeals, that I could see this as a potential. But we don't. And $250, even as it stands, is a good amount for some people, and I think $500 could keep some people from going forward with an appeal. Because right now they have the $250 for the appeal. They can do it themselves, but many people also hire an attorney. I think we're just making it more difficult for people to interact with local government by doing that. So I would prefer to keep it where it is.
Thank you. Ms. Crane, any other discussion?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I just curious if council or the manager could comment on the line here. It says this increase more closely represents the true costs incurred by the CBG in managing appeals. Could you expand a little bit on that, what that real cost is?
Actually, I would look to our city clerk because she handles a lot of that work.
So the cost of appeals is a lot of labor hours for staff, and then additionally copying charges for all the documents for all the assembly members and the parties. I guess that's pretty much it.
And so I guess I would just follow up on it. You know, it costs anywhere from $350 to $1,600 estimate just in copying efforts for most appeals. So, and we haven't raised this rate for a long time, and it was due exactly to Ms. Crane's concern about trying to keep that level down. But we should be recouping our expenses, too. So. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I've thought about this coming into tonight's meeting, I've been pretty torn. There's no question that in the appeal where I'm holding the gavel that we haven't heard yet, I've used more than $250 worth of city attorney time just keeping me ready to do my little piece. And on the other hand, access to challenge city agencies in front of the assembly isn't isn't a fee-for-service business. And so I remain a little torn. I guess I'm inclined in Ms. Crane's direction. It seems that the $250 level we have now is enough to beat back the, oh, why not give it a shot appeals, when you consider that we're never going to recoup our costs for this.
Ms. Beck.
Thank you. Ms. Benninger, the last sentence says that you are able to waive, and you would waive the filing fee, part or whole, if the appellant is unable to pay. Is that something that happens often? Do we have a number of people who have trouble paying the $250?
We don't. I don't know that we've ever had anybody request that.
No, we have a form for it, and it's a public form, but I've never had to issue one.
Yep.
Nobody's asked for one.
Thank you. Anything else? Mr. Wanamaker, are you still with us? Mr. Wanamaker, off mute.
Yes, I do. Can you hear me now?
Yep, loud and clear.
Yeah, I have the button the wrong way. I do hear you. I'm still with you, and I support the resolution.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. If there's no other discussion, we'll vote on the objection. Ms. Sika, okay. Roll call.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
No.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keough?
No.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
Motion carries 5A, 2-nay.
Thank you. We'll move on to public hearing. We have several ordinances for public hearing tonight. Ms. Sika, could you please read the title for Ordinance 2014-29?
An ordinance amending the official zoning map of the city and borough to change the zoning of USS 3873 and a portion of USS 3406 fraction located south of Auk Lake in the Peterson Hill area from D1 transition to D5 to a mix of D10 and D10 single family.
Thank you, Ms. Sika. Administrative report.
In 2010, sewer was installed in this area. The requested change to the zoning aligns with the median density residential comprehensive plan designation, which calls for densities of 5 to 20 units per acre. The proposed D10 and D10SF both allow for a density of 10 units per acre, which is a higher density than the D5 transition zone. This proposed density better implements the identified CBJ goals of providing low and moderate income housing. The Planning Commission, at its March 25, 2014 meeting, reviewed this ordinance and recommended it forward into the full assembly for approval of the rezone of the described land from D1 transition D5 to a mix of D10 and D10SF. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I will open this up for public comment. Does anybody from the public wish to comment on Ordinance 2014-29? Come on up, Mr. Hanna. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
My name is Dave Hanna. I live at 11495 Mendenhall Loop Road, which is on the other side of Peterson Hill. And I'm actually here to speak in favor of this. I think this is something that the community really needs. And I'm pleased to see it going forward. I mean, I say it with kind of a heavy heart because I used to roam around in those woods when I was a kid, and you always hate to see those places go away, so to speak. But on the other hand, this does serve a need that the community has. I would like to say, though, that the city is already moving in the right direction. They pulled back the boundary as best as they could out of the Auk Lake watershed. I know there are some plans for further development up on top of the hill, and I think the city should rethink those plans. just due to the fact that we are starting to lose the game migration corridors and habitat areas in this town, those of us that have been here a couple of years have seen the changes and realize that there has been a big shift in how the game does move. And if we impact it too much more, we probably will lose the way of life that we've come to enjoy. But what you have here, I think, is a good plan, and I actually would encourage the city to think about maybe modifying this plan. We talked about it at the last public hearing about incorporating more of the D10 single family, and if there's any way we could allow that to happen maybe across the rest of the property that directly abuts the landowners adjacent to it, I think it would have a lower impact on those adjacent landowners, and it would encourage the kind of development that a lot of us are hoping to see in the community, which is the smaller homes on smaller lots that are probably as close as we're ever going to have to true affordable housing that's, you know, for purchase by families. So with that being said, that's all I have.
Are there any questions for Mr. Hanna? Mr. Jones.
I just had one. When you spoke about plans up on the hill above, are you talking about the property above where this zone is taking place?
Correct.
It was
right.
My understanding that was university land.
That's actually the, if you're looking at the map, the property that would be to your right. But right up above it up there where it says like D1 transition D5, we still have some city land up in that area. And the property to the left of that, where you see that little 400-foot line back from the edge of Auk Lake.
Right.
Well, that tract of land in between there is somewhat up for grabs. So it'd be nice if we could put some sort of thought into deciding what we would be willing to set aside and maybe actually move to do that.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And Mr. Hanna, by the time we get to there, you and I are going to be gone. So.
Not me.
All right, thank you, Mr. Hanna. And so I guess if there's no other questions from the Assembly, I will ask for Assembly action. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move Assembly adoption of Ordinance 2014-29 and ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, if you will read the title for Ordinance 2014-30.
An ordinance amending the official zoning map of the city and borough to change the zoning of USS 381 fraction located at the corner of Atlin Drive and Mendenhall Loop Road from D10 to light commercial.
Administration report.
This proposed ordinance is a result of the Harris versus CBJ Planning Commission appeal heard by the Assembly on March 17, 2014. In that case, Mr. Harris sought a rezoning of his property located at 9050 Atlin Drive from D10 to light commercial. After considering the party's briefs and hearing oral arguments, the Assembly granted Mr. Harris's appeal, directing that an ordinance providing for the requested rezone be drafted and forwarded to the Assembly for introduction. This ordinance would amend the official zoning map of the City and Borough of Juneau to change the zoning of Mr. Harris's property at 9050 Atlin Drive from D10 to light commercial, consistent with the Assembly's March 17, 2014 decision. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Ms. Keeper. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2014-30? Ms. Hood? I can't keep track, Ms. Hood, because you got so many signed up here, I guess. Go ahead.
Thank you. I don't know what year it was, but it was several years ago that this very same proposal, as much as I can remember, came before the Planning Department and the Assembly, and there was a big turnout of neighborhood folks in Atlin Drive area opposing it, and it was not approved. So I'm not sure how this has gotten so far forward again. But I oppose this zoning change, and I think it is not in accord with CBJ's spoken goal of increasing available affordable housing. This is a residential area. There's a church there, but there aren't any other commercial operations, and there were various talks about it. It could be offices and this sort of thing, but there was total opposition to that by the people in the area, and I was one of the persons that testified at that time as well when I drove over there and drove around and talked to people. So I think that this is not consistent with CBJ's goal of increasing available affordable housing.
Thank you. Ms. Hood, anything else?
I would urge you to vote in opposition to this.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Ms. Hood? Seeing none, thank you very much, ma'am. And anybody else from the public wishes to comment on this? Seeing none, public comment is closed. And assembly action. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the adoption of Ordinance 2014-30 and ask for unanimous consent.
I object. I tried to get it. Is there any? Thank you, Mr. Jones. Is there any comment or we've been through this a number of times. Mr. Jones, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's my argument. This was before the Planning Commission quite a while ago. They acted. The Assembly then took this issue up, passed an ordinance, had to rescind that ordinance because of things that were done that weren't correct. We made a change in an ordinance and went back through the Planning Commission process. Wasn't approved by the Planning Commission, came before the Assembly on appeal, passed the Assembly on appeal on a 5-4 vote, and I still maintain my objection to changing the zoning on this property. So that's why I'll be voting no.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Are there any other comments? Mr. Keel.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I very much share Mr. Jones's concerns. I think that the heart and soul of my objections go to the question of land use. It's what our comprehensive plan is about. And without belaboring the point, there are quite a few uses allowed in light commercial that are not consistent with the uses allowed in medium density residential. Not only would this rezone not be in conformance with our comprehensive plan, it would not even be in substantial conformance, and that's the new language of our law. At the same time, I do have a real concern for housing, and we had, you know, the main proponent of this rezone tell the Assembly during the appeal that there would be fewer units of housing developed with the rezone than without it. So in addition to being inconsistent with our comprehensive plan, it's inconsistent with my goals for promoting more housing within our borough. So I will also be a no vote tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Any other comments? Hearing none, Ms. Sika, will you please read the roll?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
No.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
No.
And Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
Motion fails, 4A, 3-nay.
Thank you, Ms. Sika. We'll move forward to Ordinance 2014-30-31. Ms. Sika.
An ordinance providing for a penalty relating to motorized uses on Off Lake.
Thank you. Administrative report.
On April 7, 2014, the Assembly adopted Ordinance 2014-20, which amended Code Section 6701095 related to motorized use on Ock Lake. Ordinance 2014-20 eliminated the prohibition against certain size vessels and added a prohibition against the rinsing or flushing of boat engines in the lake alongside the wayside or within 50 feet of the lake shoreline. This ordinance would amend the fine schedule by eliminating the penalty related to vessel length and providing for a $250 penalty for illegal rinsing or flushing of boat engines as prohibited by CBJ 6701-095E. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I'll open this up for public comment. Does anybody wish to make comment on Ordinance 2014-31?
Mr. Hanna.
You're hiding back there on me.
Sorry about that. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Once again, my name is Dave Hanna. I live at 11495 Mendenhall Loop Road, which is the back corner of Auk Lake. And I'm actually here to speak in favor of the ordinance itself as far as the amendment to the fee proposals, I would like to speak to another part of it, which is the refueling of vessels. And if I understand it correctly right now, the way it reads is you're not allowed to refuel a vessel within so many feet of the lake. And I feel it's an unenforceable ordinance due to all the private property that's around the lake. So I think we should probably revisit this, and if you're going to have that ordinance, it only should pertain to public property.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any questions for Mr. Hanna? Seeing none, I will. Any other public comments out there? Seeing none, we will move forward for assembly action. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move the approval of ordinance serial number 2014-31 and ask unanimous consent.
Thank you. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so approved. Move on to serial number 2013-11AS.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $2,890 as partial funding for the purchase of bulletproof vests, grant funding provided by the United States Department of Justice, and local funding provided by the Juneau Police Department.
Thank you. Madam Manager.
The Bulletproof Vest Partnership, created by the Bulletproof Vest Partnership Grant Act of 1998, is a unique U.S. Department of Justice initiative designed to provide a critical resource to state and local law enforcement. The grant funds are anticipated to pay 50% of the total cost for 13 vests, with the remaining 50% from JPD's operating budget. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I will open this up for public comment. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2013-11AS? Seeing none, public comment is closed, and we'll move forward for assembly action. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move approval of Ordinance Serial Number 2013-11AS and ask unanimous consent.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Are there any objections to that? Thank you. So approved. All right. We'll take a five-minute break here and then move forward into unfinished business and new business.
CBJ is taking a five-minute break, so we'll have time to do the weather update. Tonight, numerous showers, lows around 47, southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, highs around 59, light winds becoming northwest 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. And tomorrow night, decreasing clouds, patchy for fog late, lows 40 to 45, light winds. So we have a little music. Before I do that, you are listening to KTOO. This is the broadcast of the CBJ meeting. And we'll listen to a little music.
start by saying it right. Mr. Jones.
I understand that this is primarily is it focused on all tax exemptions or just sales tax, or are we talking property tax exemptions?
All 35 well? Exemptions.
Okay. Thanks.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Has this been done in the past, or is this the first time?
This is the third time.
Third time.
Since I've been here.
And the last time was?
2005. I have a beautiful three-ring binder with all of those tax exemptions and how Mr. Duncan did those at that time that showed the pros and cons of why we did this exemption and why we didn't do it. It also showed the costs involved of doing it and stuff like that. So it really went into depth, and I think that they can use a lot of that information. Mr. Bartholomew, our finance director, we'll be able to use a lot of that information and just update it to make sure that we have the appropriate current information to make decisions with. So, any other questions on the Tax Exemption Review Committee? It was a big one that we identified in the finance. We have quite a few big things up in the air here now. And it's going to take a lot of effort here in this next 6 months to get them all completed and then to be able to move forward into the next budget year for sure. We have the appeal from Sea Alaska has been withdrawn for right now. Staff reports, airport supplemental.
Yes, I want to inform the Assembly per 5350-040C that I have approved a supplemental agreement for the airport. You may remember that I did approve a supplemental before for the airport not to exceed the $250,000. In fact, it was slightly less than that for the work that was needed to have Delta Airlines come in and replace the old passenger boarding bridge. That work, there were a couple pieces that weren't able to happen under that supplemental, so I had to approve a second supplemental for no more than $15,000 to finish that work. There was some incorrect information that went together on the boarding bridge itself, so they ended up having to put the boarding bridge up once. It didn't align. They had to bring it back down, so there were some additional costs, and then we also took advantage of having the paving that was being done right underneath it to expand just a little bit farther because it was a small paving area that made sense to finish that whole section, and that was an additional $2,000. So I approved a second supplemental not to exceed $15,000 for that airport work.
And all that money will come out of the airport CIP?
Correct.
Thank you. Mr. Keel.
Just a little clarification. 15 plus 2 or 15 total?
15,000. It was the second supplemental. The first supplemental was 246. 246.6.
So 15,000 including the paving change. That's.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any other questions on the supplemental? All right. We'll move forward to the next agenda items, which is the Assembly reports and the Mayor's report. You'll see that I put a memo in the packet to start talking about the Empowered Board for the pools, and this memo is in accordance to what we've discussed during the Finance Committee meetings also, and so I will need somebody on the Assembly to move this forward to give direction to staff, and they've already had several meetings about it and with other people about it. So if we can move or have a discussion on the Empowered Board right now, you're more than welcome to. But I think all that stuff will come out in the next month to 2 months about what it will be and what it will look like. So questions, comments? Ms. Crane.
I'm certainly not objecting to the idea of an empowered board, but I am concerned that there are a number of issues to be decided before we put this before the public. And so my question is, I've had some discussion with Kim about some of the concerns. Do you feel that you have enough time to really fully investigate what needs to be done and answer the questions that we've had in order to get this on the ballot in October? Sorry to put you on the spot. But
there will always be questions about how to put this forward. There's been some work already that has been done on looking at the ordinance. It would be the second piece of this if the voters approve the charter amendment on what the actual empowered board would look like, what their charge would be. My thought is that it get introduced on the 30th and then go to the Finance Committee meeting on the 9th to start answering those questions. And if those questions aren't answered, then we can make a decision on what to do at the July 21st assembly meeting. But I've got a list of questions. Some of those are answered in the draft ordinance that was provided by the group that's interested in it that I believe got sent to the assembly. Some of the questions still have not been answered.
Okay.
That's great.
We also discussed briefly the possibility of Treadwell moving under another empowered board. Does that question have to go before the voters as well?
If it's an empowered board, yes.
I mean, there's already an empowered board that we talked about. We had some brief conversation about moving Treadwell under the Eagle Crest board.
Right.
And so would we also need to have that on a ballot? Or can we do that since that board is already established?
Ms. Mead?
There's not a clear answer. The charter provision talks about the empowered board for the ski area overseeing the ski area, but there is a past practice of expanding the scope of that particular board to oversee another recreational facility in the CBJ, the Diamond Park Fieldhouse. So there is that past practice. The charter talks about what that empowered board is allowed to do, but you are allowed to flesh out the scope of its authorities by ordinance.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I don't have a firm opinion on that one yet. I'm just wondering if we're going to be able to discuss that and get the information on that to be able to make a decision. And if we do, will we be timely on that as well? So.
I would just like to say up front that right now we have got enough balls in the air to try to make some decisions here without adding another one, which that one is a little one. I agree that it needs to be discussed, and maybe it's in the next finance budget cycle that we start the discussion, and then if we have to have a charter amendment, we'll find that out through law, and then we'll talk about that for next year's thing, but I just don't think we have time to add any more big thoughts to our workload right now with what we have going. That's my opinion. Madam Manager, what do you think?
Well, it does really depend on if it needs to go to the voters. And
if it doesn't, we have
time. And it is their time to be able to do that. And I don't know even if the Eagle Crest Board has even had an opportunity to talk about it. I'm meeting with the Eagle Crest director later this week to have those discussions. So I don't know where the board is on that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Wanamaker, do you have anything?
No, I don't.
Thank you. Can I get somebody to move this motion here? Ms. Becker? Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess I would move that we direct the city manager to bring forward language for the charter amendment to establish a general pool empowered board. And ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections to that, Mr. Keel?
Mr. Mayor, only to say, I mean, I'm gazing at the charter here with regard to the ski area board, and I would like to see this expanded to look at the other big question, which is giving the ski area board the authority to look at the ice arena, to manage the ice arena as well. My gut on this single paragraph in the charter is that managing our ice arena is different than contracting for management of a non-city-owned field house. If they're going to manage another city asset, I think it needs to go in here, and I think now's the time.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to make that a motion right after this one, that's fine with me. I wouldn't put more questions on this simple motion than what we have there right now. So if you wish to make that a motion right afterwards, I would be willing to accept that and discuss it. Anything else on this simple motion? Is there any objections to moving forward with the city manager to bring forward appropriate language for a charter amendment to establish a Juneau Pool empowered board? No objections, so ordered. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move that the Assembly direct the manager to bring forward appropriate language to enable the ski area board to manage the Treadwell Ice Arena.
Is there any objections to that? Hearing none, Madam Manager.
Okay.
Okay, so we've added two more things to the workload. Committee reports. Maybe under Mayor's report, just two things here. We have a couple of things going on this week, and they are celebration. So there's a parade on Wednesday morning from 8 till 11, I think it is. If anybody wishes to come down and watch that, you're all more than welcome. And on Thursday evening, they have grand entrance into Centennial Hall, and that will go from A&B Hall to Centennial Hall, and they're doing that evening instead of in the morning of the next day. So those are two big functions that are going to block some traffic and also are very interesting cultural things to attend, or attend part of them at least, and see what's going on. And that's all I have to report for right now. Committee reports, Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have not had a committee of the whole meeting since our last assembly meeting, but we do have two coming up. On the 16th, we have a committee of the whole talking about the wireless ordinance and something else. Rezoning. That's right. That's one that was put onto, yes, from the last assembly meeting. And on the 23rd, we'll also have a committee of the whole meeting, economic development and
election code update.
Election code.
And e-cigarettes.
And what was the last one?
E-cigarettes.
Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And other things, I'm sure, that will come up. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Keel?
The Human Resources Committee has not met since our last meeting, but I'm working to pack the agenda for the next one.
Thank you. Ms. Crane?
You have in your packet this evening the agenda and backup material for a Finance Committee meeting this Wednesday night.
And I would remember to bring your budget books. And we're discussing a place for you to be able to leave your budget books here. I don't know if underneath our tables are a big enough place. But we also have our little meeting room in there that maybe we can put a bookshelf in. And
we're looking for one.
And you can put some of that stuff and keep it here so you can get it when you need it. We're looking at that right now and trying to see what we can do to facilitate each of your needs and everything. But you'll need your budget book so that you can look at the manning schedules that are in our budget and how we man the different departments and everything during our Finance Committee meeting. Okay. Mr. Smith,
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Lands Committee met on June 2nd. The committee passed a motion to forward the proposal to the Assembly with the recommendation to continue negotiations on the acquisition of a property on Franklin and 2nd Street with Juno Legacy Properties. And really from this point, the question remains, does the Assembly wish to pursue this? And if so, then the item will be scheduled for the next available meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Wanamaker, Public Works.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Works Committee met on June 2nd. Let's see. We received information on the Hughes Way LID and the project there to pave that street. And we also received information on the Last Chance Basin and Salmon Creek water system rehabilitation projects and upgrade projects. And we forwarded the legislative and administrative grant applications to appropriate funds to the Assembly. I can't remember the other items we took up. Perhaps Ms. Crane can remember.
I think that was primarily it.
That was mainly it, Mr. Wanamaker.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Jones, did you want us to take an action there? I kind of skipped over. Mr. Smith. Did you want us to take action on the lands proposal item for second or not tonight?
If there's interest on the Assembly here to discuss it further, Mr. Cheney is here. We heard some concerns tonight about the public process. We can certainly do that.
Haven't we given direction to Mr. Cheney to move forward with it?
The Lands Committee did move it forward, and so we will move it forward to the full Assembly unless we hear otherwise tonight.
Yeah. So thank you, Mr. Keel. So as far as I'm concerned, it's moving forward. Mr. Cheney has it in his billywack. Do you have any questions for us, Mr. Cheney, that we need to answer besides a simple yes or no, which I know you would really like, but...
Mr. Mayor, there has been, as you heard tonight, some question about public notice about this item. I want to make it clear that this was a proposal that came to us. We were not seeking to dispose of this property. So as lands manager, I'm seeking the Assembly's direction as to whether you wish to proceed with this or not. We did only get one proposal in our solicitation, and that was from Juno Legacy Properties. So the Lands Committee did vote to move it forward to the Assembly for consideration. So it's squarely in your court as to whether you would like to hear more about this or not.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think this is really discussed already, so I'd like to see it move forward, then brought to the full Assembly for discussion when it's done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Is there any objections to Mr. Wanamaker's thoughts and motion on this? Move it forward and bring it back to us. Mr. Cheney.
Will do.
Thank you very much. Liaison reports. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've met with the Downtown Business Association, and they're gearing themselves up for the first season, which is in full swing. There were a couple of questions related to a contract they have with the city. I did meet with the city manager and relayed that information back to the Downtown Business Association for them to follow through on. The Local Emergency Planning Committee meets Wednesday, so I don't have anything to report. Docks and Harbors, I wanted to thank the Assembly for having the joint meeting. I thought that was productive, got everybody up to speed on what the projects are. And really appreciated that. I think the Docks and Harbors Board did as well. And the only thing I wanted to update on, I think there was some discussion about the damaged floats out of Stater Harbor the repair that was being done. Contractor ran into some trouble getting the conduits all pulled, and There's been some delay, but I believe they now have all four cables through all two chases, and I think they're looking at that trying to be done by Thursday of this week, and all the repairs will be done out at Stater Harbor. And those are my three liaison reports. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. And Mr. Jones, do you have any presiding officer reports?
Just that the ruling on expanding the on my appeal, there was a motion to, I guess, expand the record by having a transcript of the hearing as opposed to the minutes. That was proposed by the appellants. Neither of the two other parties objected, and so we made that order. I believe that's being done, and they requested that the cost be split among the three parties, which nobody objected to, so we approved that. There's a clarification that will be dealt with this week, a request. Otherwise, we're on schedule. We moved a couple of the filings out of ways, but it still will give the assembly 2 weeks to review the growing binder on that appeal before we actually hear it before the assembly. But we're still on track. This
are we up to $1,000 yet on the copy?
I'm sure we're getting close, Mr. Mayor, and at least my time's volunteer, but the attorney's not, and I know her time's been well used.
Okay. Good. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Smith, liaison reports.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Eagle Crest Board met on June the 5th. Chief, among the items at that meeting were the establishment, the approval of a memorial plaque display policy at Eagle Crest, final review and adoption of the budget, the operations report, and the manager's evaluation.
Eagle Crest manager's evaluation.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Don't scare me. And, Mr. Smith, do you have any presiding officer reports?
No.
Thank
we
you.
We got a laugh over there.
Yeah.
On that one.
Ms. Crane?
The last hospital board, they are, it's kind of a continuing issue, but dealing with the issue of on-call for physicians. Mm-hmm. They have in the last few months made some significant progress, but there are still a number of issues to be dealt with. And the board gave direction to the new CEO to begin some negotiations in that area.
All right. Good. Any presiding officer report, Ms. Crane? Do you have any?
No.
Are you missing out? Mr. Keogh, liaison and then presiding officer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Affordable Housing Commission met last week and discussed its work on the Housing Action Plan, RFP. They are awaiting some feedback and help from city staff, I think in the purchasing department, to put the spit polish on that so that it gets us what we need, and discussing with staff the timing so that we can have that action plan build on the economic development plan instead of duplicate it. We don't want that. Mm-hmm. They also there was also some discussion about whether the group, the contractor doing the economic development plan, had finished its meetings with interested parties. I know that the builders were looking forward to meeting with them, and some of the JEDC cluster groups, I think, still needed to. So I'm working to get that information back to them. The school board will have its regular meeting tomorrow night, but has spent the entire weekend interviewing its finalists for superintendent. Mr. Jones joined us at the school board on Saturday for several hours of interviews with three finalists, or semifinalists, all of whom are now finalists. That was surprisingly, and I was pleased to see how well attended that was. There was also a public meet and greet at Sandy Beach yesterday, which was very well attended indeed. I received a number of very positive reports from members of the community about the opportunity to meet informally with those finalists. And then I was not able to attend the 1 o'clock finalist interviews that the school board held today, but they are meeting to deliberate on their selection. They have tentatively, I think, their plan is to settle on a finalist, settle on a selection at their meeting. I don't know whether they will announce that before they conclude negotiations, discussion with that person. And as far as presiding officer reports in the animal hearing appeal, things continue to proceed on schedule. I believe the, if memory serves, the first argument brief was due Friday afternoon. And so I have nothing else to report. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Keel.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Just to add, I also attended this afternoon's 3 hours of interviews, and Ms. Crane was there as well. And at least for the first two interviewees, there were actually more people in attendance this afternoon than there was at the height of it on Saturday. So, and some same people, but a lot of different people I had not seen on Saturday. So I think there's extreme interest in the community over the selection process, and for the board to do this in public and invite the public to come and participate and write responses and things like that, I think was really good. But there was I would venture to say that there was at one point in time this afternoon probably close to 60 people there.
Mm-hmm. Good participation. Mr. Wademaker, liaison reports and presiding officer reports.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, good. I did not attend the latest Juneau Economic and Development Council meeting, and I'm not a presiding officer on any of the appeals that are currently before us. Mine is finished. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Alaska Committee will have their retreat this Wednesday. Campus Council is adjourned for the summer because school is out at the university. Well, I guess it isn't really out, but we don't have meetings anyway. And the Chamber continues to meet every Thursday for lunch and program at the airport community room. And that's all.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Assembly comments and questions. Ms. Becker.
None, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I can't think of anything. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Mr. Keel?
Nothing tonight. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Crane?
Nothing. Thank you.
Mr. Smith?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Jones?
Just one comment. Last Thursday, Mr. Keel and I, Dave Crabtree, took us up to the well fields. We got to walk around and see where they were thinking of putting in the two new wells and some of the test wells they have down. We would have seen a lot more, but we decided to leave it to the black bear that was out there rather than bother that creature out there. Uh-huh. But it was a good hour tour up there. We had a nice day. It didn't rain on us. It wasn't muddy. It was pretty good.
All right.
And I really appreciated the time he took to explain that operation up there. And I can't tell you how many times I've walked by there, driven by there, but never been down in there and got my questions answered. And I just really appreciated that time. So, and that's it, Mr. Mayor.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Jones. I think that's everybody, right? The only other thing that I have is that the last couple of months I've been in contact with some people from Whitehorse, some assembly members and some federal officials up there on other business, and I just quickly noted that it would be nice if we could invite the RCMPs to Juneau for the 4th of July and have three or four of them come down and be in our parade. And Now I've got eight of them wanting to come down and enjoy our 4th of July day with us. So we'll see what happens here in the next couple of weeks. We've got an official request in to them, and I'm sure we'll have at least four of them, if not eight of them, in our parade in full color. And that will be neat and much enjoyed by all of us, I know, here in Juneau. Mr. Smith?
Will they be on horseback?
No, not horseback this time, although that would be a nice one to get the regiment down here from the horseback. We did that 25 years ago or so, and, man, they put on a beautiful show. It was just amazing. But that would be a good thing to try to do again. I would encourage us, as we do Sister City stuff, to try to encourage that in happening, even if it isn't the 4th of July, if it's another time. Mm-hmm. But they travel just like the... like our fly guys and gals do. So, Ms. Becker?
Thank you. I just remembered that, and I don't know enough about it, but I believe it's this week that we have a breakfast with people from Vermont concerning energy.
JEDC does, yeah.
Well, we were invited to go.
Yes.
We were invited also. Mm-hmm. Like at 7:30 somewhere?
Friday,
7:30?
When was this?
Oh, you're not special.
It's the Alaska Committee.
It was the Alaska. It's for the Alaska Committee.
Yeah, but JDC invited everyone. I saw it being invited.
It's the Alaska Committee. That.
It's only the Alaska. Okay.
It's not.
The Alaska
only.
Committee has been invited to go to a breakfast with the people from Vermont to talk about energy.
If any of you on the Assembly wish to go to that, call Mr. Holtz, and he would be glad to have you there to talk with this lady from Vermont, Montpelier. Yes.
I don't know where it is, so I don't know.
Okay.
It's their state capital, so you should know.
Yes. We'll move on to the next. We'll move on to the next thing, which is public participation on non-agenda items again. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak to us on a non-agenda item? Seeing none, we'll close public participation, and I will take a motion to move into executive session.
Mr. Mayor, I move that the Assembly go into executive session to discuss with the city attorney a matter that's under appeal.
And?
And the city attorney evaluation.
Thank you. Are there any objections to going into executive session? Seeing none and hearing none from the board, we'll take a 2-minute break here.
You are listening to KTOO Juno. This has been a broadcast of the June 9th, 2014 City Assembly meeting. The City Assembly is going into executive session, and this ends the public period for the CBJ meeting. So we'll be returning to normal programming, which is we'll be joining Encounters in Progress. Thank you for listening. Have a good evening.